Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Travis Knapp. Knapp is a singer-songwriter as well as a banjo and piano player. He studied at the Conservatory of Music at Ithaca College. He has produced 4 CDs, including All the Stars You Hold, which we discussed on an earlier show, and his most recent is a gorgeous new eclectic collection called One by One. And welcome back.
Thank you, Tish.
I want you to tell me about the evolution and creation of this new CD. It feels a little different.
Yeah, it is different. I'm glad you noticed. There's just the sound of it is the first thing that people reflect back to me as being different. I thought I was going to make a live album, something real simple. We would just record the band and mix it and be done. But it ended up being adding all these layers of a string quartet and a choir and a fiddle player and harmonica and trumpet and all these. Because I get digging into the songs and the recording is where you can really sculpt something. So
yeah. And also make your point in a better, more forceful way.
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope that's what it is.
Oh, it absolutely is. This CD has got personal as well as social and political issues. Mm. Was that a debate in your head whether you were going to tackle some of this?
A debate whether...
political issues, especially in this crazy time we're living in.
Yeah, I used to worry more about getting into anything that people would consider political, but... It's the overlap is just so strong. Like our personal lives and our political and social lives are all interwoven, and you can't really address one without the other. So I've not struggled.
You feel like the personal is political. That was an old saying from the 60s and 70s. Yeah,
for sure. That's and any divisions that we make are just for the convenience of getting our heads around certain things.
And absolutely.
The movements that are happening in society and around us are just mirroring what's happening internally.
Yeah. So. And I think music is a great vehicle for people to try to figure out what's going on, too.
Yeah.
Because some people just lash out, feel like violence is the way. But music can tamper that down, let people contemplate a little bit better.
Yeah.
When we talked 2 years ago, you said you were going to approach the new CD differently.
Mm.
Well, this does feel different and more expansive. And how did you approach it differently? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I'm glad you remember that. I forget what I said then, but I think part of it was the recording live. So the previous CD, All the Stars You Hold, I started it in my cabin with me and the banjo and singing, and then adding layers on top of that. But for this one, we had the bass, upright bass and drum set, and me sitting right in this very room, isolated from them out in the broader studio here at Rep Studio. And we recorded live with that trio. And I think that really gives a lot more strong sense of the ensemble.
Yeah, and it feels more intimate.
Yeah.
Like live recordings do feel intimate. To me, it feels more intimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I've always, I wonder, make the recording sound a certain way and then perform kind of a different way live. It's never quite the same, but this is hopefully closer.
Yeah. Let's play an excerpt from One by One. This one is called One by One. It's the title song. Tell us a bit about it.
So One by One, I was, I actually wrote this while I was on a bicycle, which is true of a lot of my songs. I was on a bicycle on the West Coast last winter. And the concept just being that we can only move forward collectively one person at a time. And the line in the middle of the song is we lift each other up. That was going to be that was a working title of the album. We lift each other up. That's really the theme that I'm going for, because we can't do it alone and we can't do it all at once. But one at a time, one by one, we give each other the inspiration that we need to get into the next day and to do what is really inspiring to ourselves.
Let's listen to a bit of it.
Drop by drop, the bucket fills and pours over the brim. Love by love, the heart is filled. Can't go back again. This crazy world makes no sense at all. so much beauty, so much hurt. But if you step up and I step up, we'll find out what it's worth. There's nothing left to lose. One by one, we face into the rain and turn our flesh into flame. One by one, we breathe into the pain. You can't make fire feel afraid. One by one, ooh, one by one.
You know, this seems intimate to me, really intimate. Were you trying to get into an intimate state, and, you know, into yourself, like if you're alone in a room? And
what do you mean by intimate?
It feels more personally to do with how you feel. No, seriously, and then you're sharing that. A lot of people hide that.
Right. I mean, it's funny you say that on this one, because this is the one where I'm kind of reaching outward, and in my mind I'm embracing the community around me, but it's true, it comes from the intimacy of knowing yourself. I find myself pointing to my heart a lot, and that doesn't come through on the radio, but
that makes sense.
So there's an intimacy, and really there's just a surrender of, you know, being a songwriter, being a singer and a songwriter, it's kind of pointless unless you put your most honest self forward, and that's what I'm trying to work towards, doing better and better every...
it's working on this album. I mean, you have to be in touch with yourself to communicate with people. I mean, and this comes through loud and clear on this new CD. And tell us about this major decision. All these musicians, you had a 30-person choir. How did you bring all this together? It seems so complicated.
Yeah, just kind of the momentum of the album. I heard when I perform live, I get people singing along a lot, and I wanted to capture some of that sound on the album, so it kind of was going backwards in that way. So I invited as many people as wanted to come to the church, to the Unitarian Society in Ithaca, with its beautiful resonant space, and recorded the piano there, and I thought, let's just have a community of voices. And I could have done it all day. We spent about 2 or 3 hours recording little parts, you know, that the choir could sing. But I really just love the sound of people singing together. And there's a power in that.
Absolutely. You know, it's haunting.
It is almost
to me,
haunting.
It's haunting.
Yeah, because I think it's because there's so much power in people working together, that our voices in unison and in unity like that. It's almost overwhelming to feel that power in the form of sound.
Did you have to take a lot of takes to get the thing on record?
For that, yeah, we did a number, but some of them were, you know, just the second or third take, and then, you know, it worked right in. And then with the string quartet stuff, I knew that I could do string arrangements, but I didn't think I had the time to do it, so I asked a friend if she would do a few, and they turned out, she made decisions that I wouldn't have, so it worked out great. That's what's the beauty of working with other people.
Collaboration. It must bring out so much creativity.
Yeah.
It feels like it on this album. Mm-hmm. Now, did you do most of the arrangements besides the one you were just ones you were just talking about, or do you like to play by ear?
Yeah, it's definitely in the folk style where it's, you know, we practice the tunes, but a lot of what makes it on the album is just, you know, what happens to be played in that moment. So Desmond, the bass player, likes to, like, have a real solid part. So he will work on, you know, this is what I'm going to play for this tune and this part. But still, there's an improvisatory nature even in what he's doing and in what any of the players are doing. And
it must be hard to improvise when you've got 30 people standing there getting ready to sing for you.
For the choir, I had ideas in my head for sure of what we would do. So that's kind of it's an arranging, not writing it down on paper arranging, but arranging by ear and in the moment of, with a big group standing in front of me, I did find inspiration of like, oh, let's try it like this. And, you know, working with the recording engineer and the other singers, I was like, oh, maybe it would sound better if we sing it like this. So yeah. It's just on the fly.
I think it's great. It doesn't sound old or like you overdid it or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a rawness to it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, let's listen to another excerpt from One by One. This one is called Democracy. Mm-hmm. But tell us what prompted this song.
Well, this song, this is based on the chant that you often hear at rallies, and show me what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like.
Yeah.
And I was at a Bernie Sanders rally in Binghamton, and we were in this, you know, big arena, maybe 20, 30,000 people, and we're there, you know, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., and watching people pour in. We're down on the floor and watching people pour into this arena to hear Bernie Sanders speak, and just to know that his message resonated with me personally, and then also was resonating with, you know, these thousands of other people, just in this one area, and then around the country, that gave me a lot of hope. And we were trying to get some chants going because it's fun.
Oh yeah, political rallies wouldn't be rallies without chants, right?
Exactly. And the most effective one was "Show Me What Democracy Looks Like," because it's very self-aware. That's what I like about it.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought I would capture some of that. And it's a real fun one to do live because it's participatory. People, I say that, like, this song's about democracy. You have to participate.
Yeah, and that's a good message.
Yeah.
A very good message. Let's listen to it.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Gather here with voices raised so we can go our food and families and live our lives in peace. Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Someone truly speaks for you, you'd better speak for them.
I want to ask you this too. How do you approach songwriting in general? Do you wait for inspiration? Do you have certain times when you sit down and have to go to a certain place? How do you do it?
Yeah, I'm not one of those people that write songs all the time. I will wait for inspiration, and I at the same time, often a song won't come unless I make space and time to sit down and do it. So while I've been working on this album, I haven't written any songs. But when I decided that it was time to do this album, I had taken a retreat for 2 days, a weekend, and wrote a couple songs and said, okay, I have enough songs to do an album, and actually these are really timely.
Wow.
And it's time to do it. But then in the time between making that decision and recording, I wrote two or three more songs because it was just, that was the flow of it. But yeah, I need to be alone and have a lot of time before I can really write. A lot of people write collaboratively, and
oh yeah,
I've never had success with that, or rarely had success with that. So it's just having a lot of space and being out, you know, in the natural world is usually what gets me.
I remember
grounded.
You saying that in the last interview.
Yeah.
What period of time were these written in? Because they seem so timely about what's happening now.
Right. Yeah. So Democracy that we just listened to is probably the oldest song on this one.
Really?
Which, yeah, and the rest are written in the last year. And I was going to wait a whole nother year to record this album and not try to rush, but it just felt like, yeah, these are fresh now. This is what I need to hear in my songs, and this
yeah.
is probably what other people need to be hearing about democracy and, you know, about sticking it out and lifting each other up. And
yeah,
those are themes that can always be relevant.
Oh, absolutely, especially in this country.
Yeah.
Did you ever worry about writing political songs and turning off your base and
yeah.
turning off your audience or making yeah. people angry?
Yeah. Very much so, because I think people hear anything political and they either shut down because they don't agree with what you're saying, or they shut down because they worry that other people won't agree with what you're saying. But there comes a point when if you have a microphone in a public space, you have to say what's true to you and what you know is true to a lot of people, and kind of can't worry about it anymore. You know, I have some friends that gave to this particular political cause. They have a business, and they wanted to do it anonymously because they're like, a lot of our patrons are of different political
persuasions.
And I respected that they had to do that, but I also am grateful that as a songwriter I can be a little more upfront, you know.
If you're just joining us, my guest is singer-songwriter, banjo player, and pianist Travis Knapp. We're talking about his new CD, One by One. You know what a lot of artists have told me, especially in these kinds of times, that they believe that art is capable of saving us or bringing us together. Do you feel that way about your songs more so now, or have you always had that philosophy in some way?
That music can bring us together and save us. Absolutely. That's why I do it. And I forget that a lot, really. But when we get together in one space, anytime people are gathered, and then music, it weaves us tighter. So I have renewed faith every time we gather. And even if it's not, you know, the content of what you're singing, it's just singing it all. But then, yeah, to have a uniting song, I mean, show me what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. That gets people thinking, what can I be doing in my life when we leave this spot?
Yeah.
And, you know, and to hear the more personal songs like All Right that I wrote for my cousin, like everything's all right and it's easy. Like, just know that we've got your back. I think the safety that people can feel within themselves is what leads us to progress.
I agree. And I also, these are perilous times, really perilous times. Mm-hmm. So people also need to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think music can bring people, you know, more toward their own feelings and commiserating with other people.
Right.
Based on songs.
Right, yeah. And I think we're so connected and we're so isolated at the same time with technology as it is, that if I can reach through the internet or through a CD and, you know, across a border with songs, then that helps tie us together. There's a permaculture saying that says that the more that a system is connected to itself in different ways, the stronger and more resilient it is. So
yeah,
it's just a matter of connecting and reminding each other that we're here.
But we need people to remind us, and that's where you come in.
Yeah.
Let's have you talk about another song from the... This is called Cannonball. Mm. This is about the Standing Rock movement. Was that
what
it was based on?
Yeah.
Tell us.
Yeah, so I had the privilege to go out to Standing Rock when the movement was strong and happening there for protecting clean water and hearing Indigenous voices and protecting Indigenous rights. So Natali Means from Navajo Nation, he's a Diné man, came to Onondaga Nation and during a rally. He's a poet and songwriter and an activist like this, and he said, in no uncertain terms, come to Standing Rock. This is where everything is happening. This is the connection of so many different movements. So come to Standing Rock. And I thought, hey, I have the flexibility in my life to go. And I know a lot of people in this community would go there if they could. So I felt the personal call to go. And this song is telling the story in a more broad sense of Standing Rock. And Cannonball, North Dakota is the town closest to where Standing Rock is. So, and one-way trip, people ask me a lot, why one-way trip to Cannonball? It's really this sense of... that I had, that, like, this is the most important thing I can be doing. It's kind of a war zone there, like, militarized police, and a lot of communities are really familiar with police in this way. Just to walk into that situation knowing that, you know, I might get hit with a rubber bullet, I might lose my eye, something like that. But it's worth it, because this planet is worth it, and we as a people are worth it. And so not to expect that I'm going there and not coming back, but emotionally and mentally, it's a one-way trip. Get there. Everything after isn't as important as getting there.
Yeah. Let's listen to it. Cannonball.
On a one-way trip to Cannonball, where the river is wide and Lakota stand tall, they're holding their ground for the good of us all. For the water, we must answer the call. On a one-way trip to Cannonball. And Now there's water that needs our help all over this land. But this here is a place now where the people must stand. They're gonna say this is where the future began. With so many tribes standing hand in hand. On a one-way trip to draw a line in the sand. On a one-way trip to Cannonball. Now the company brought dogs and police, they brought guns to defend all the digging that should never have been done. What they call a riot is a prayer circle in the sun, creating violence where there really is none. On a one-way trip to see this world undone. On a one-way trip to Cannonball. Women, elders, and warriors on the front line. Treaties all broken by the other side. Standing face to face with centuries of genocide. The call went out to allies worldwide to make a one-way trip to Standing Rock this time. A one-way trip to Cannonball.
You know, that has a little bit more of a country feeling to me than a folk feeling.
Oh,
was that deliberate?
I think a lot of that comes from the vibe we got with the drum and bass. You said country versus folk.
Yeah,
the overlap is Americana roots music.
That's what this one sounded particularly like.
Yeah, I don't know why that happened. I wanted it to be an upbeat tune, and so that's the way I wrote it, because there's a hope and there's a power in it, even though it's, you know, addressing things like genocide and, you know, destruction of our planet and the environment.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just holding that hope and positivity in the music and in the words, but also holding both sides of things at once.
Yeah. Do you write songs to give yourself hope and strength? Because you convey it to people, and it seems to me it has to come from some place where you need to feel that.
Yes, I have thought of it that way. I'm thinking of Cannonball specifically, and yeah, absolutely. It helps me get my head around things, for sure, to write songs, but then to have kind of a message to myself, a mantra to myself, in a lot of cases, a lot of the songs. And I know if I'm writing a song and it really sinks me into a place of connection, and like if I start crying when I'm writing a line, it's like, keep that. Like that's a truth that you need to remember. That's often how I feel.
Yeah, it comes through in the music, I'll tell you. This CD is quite powerful.
Mm.
Let's listen to the final cut that we have time for. This one's called Dark Times.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, Dark Times. The mindset right now in this country, but a lot of places around the world for sure, we're living in dark times. That's how the song starts out. We're living in dark times, and that's on everyone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
But we've lived in dark times before, and this is one of them. So the song kind of goes from saying we're living in dark times, but I see hope in your eyes. We're also living in beautiful times. We're living in bright times. And it's that same thing of it's all happening at once, the richness of the darkness and the light. And, you know, we get to choose what we put our attention on. That's a lot of what this song is.
Yeah, it feels optimistic in some ways through the dark.
Yeah.
The dark message.
Yeah.
Let's listen to it.
We've been living in dark times, brother. listen to the wisdom of our children.
That's one of my favorite songs on the CD.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I think I'm attracted to the dark side. Well, you know, just trying to be realistic, I suppose.
Perfect.
I would say now. But yeah, right. it's a beautiful tune. Does that move people in the audience? I mean, do you have people listening attentively?
I think so. Cause there's a lot of repetitiveness too in this one, in that it gets people kind of in a state to listen, and they hear Dark Times, like, wait, Travis, he's so optimistic, he's, you know, singing these uplifting songs, what you talking about, Dark Times? And then so I think people do hear the words because they're spread out pretty well with a lot of repetitive things too.
Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time. I know you're going to the British Isles and parts of Europe. You're going on tour. Are you working on new work as you sell this current CD?
Yeah, I'm hoping that when I get on the road, I'll be writing again. So no, nothing new. But there will be very soon. And after working with the string quartet, I'm thinking I want to do a whole album. Or at least a show with just me and a string quartet. It's so much fun. So that's mostly where I'm thinking.
Oh, that's really interesting. Do you think your songs will be somewhat universal? I know you've mainly played them and probably written them for what's happening in our culture.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be in Sweden and the UK and Ireland, so people speak English. Even in Sweden, and people speak English really well. So it's the music itself will always speak to people, but the words, I think, I'm pretty sure we'll connect with folks there, and I'm hoping that Europeans will be glad to hear an American saying, "Hey, you know, Donald Trump doesn't represent us," for example.
Yeah, for example. Well, Travis Knapp, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been such a great pleasure to get to know this new CD. It's beautiful.
Thanks for having me, Tish. Glad to see you well.
This has been Travis Knapp, and the album is called One by One. Thank you.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.